Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what? I think we should contemplate buying. She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air. So you just threw her under
on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Sunrise Guys, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. A lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. The Piss Dipper and the Pickle Sniffer live here on a Thursday morning. I hope your Thursday's going well. A little rainy and wet out there, but
a little nasty. I think we got some dry weather coming though after today.
Oh God, I'm so tired of hearing about the
weather. We got a few dry days.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
I glue to it every day. I love there's two different people on this planet. No, people who never look at the weather and people who look at the weather every day.
Definitely the guy who never
looks
at the weather.
There is no in between. It's not like, once a week, twice a week. It's either every day or I never check it.
You've motivated me to put a poll question up. Duck fans, are you confident about Oregon winning at Iowa this weekend? Yes, no, I'm a nervous mess. Those are your three options at Dirt and Sprague.
Can I answer all three? Is all three possible? Can I create three different counts and vote for each one? I might do that.
If you're voting for all three, you're really just voting for nervous mess.
Yeah, yeah.
Is where you're at.
That's probably where I'm at.
We have a lot to get to. We will dive back into that game, Iowa-Oregon. Is Oregon State going to be red hot and rolling this weekend for senior night, senior day? What time's the game?
Is this their last home game?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's like 7:15 or something.
It's a night game this weekend?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 7:15 a.m. would be incredibly stupid.
Well, why not?
Can you imagine a 7:15
a.m.? Kegs and eggs, let's go.
Oh, my Lord.
Would you winless prefer team. That to 7:15 against San Houston State?
I would. I probably 100% would. I would.
It's a winless team coming to
I'll
town.
I'll be up at 5 a.m. anyway. Yeah. Like, give me something to watch.
Check the game off. Let's go. Go play the damn thing in Germany. Kick it off at 5 a.m.
It's on the CW in the morning.
What are we doing?
Wakey, wakey. Beeves and eggsy. We have a lot to get to. We'll get back into some football. I got some NFL on my docket, too.
I love it.
Should there be five teams with a higher percentage chance to win the NFC than the Seattle Seahawks?
Oh.
I have the five teams.
Oh.
Talk about that a little bit.
You might get me to go make a bet if that's the case.
And if you are wondering, you didn't do the Magic Hat. It's Thursday. Don't you fret my pet. The Magic Hat is coming live to you in the 9 a.m. hour. And so we will get to that. It's a new edition of the Magic Hat. There's new wrinkles that we've added to that hat.
Yes.
But last night, our beloved Portland Trail Blazers, boy, they did something nobody else in the NBA certainly could.
For the first time this year.
Oh, play it.
I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy. I'll be your hope, I'll be your love, be everything that you need. I love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong, I will be faithful, cause I'm counting on.
Turn it up, Swag. Crank that. Come on. We're all singing it in the car anyway.
10 out of 10. Let's go.
It went skidding wide, and that is a 16-game losing streak that the Blazers had to Oklahoma City. They outlast the Thunder 121-119.
Here's a fun fact for you. As, by the way, underrated, overlooked lyric, I want to lay with you in the sea. What sea do you go to where the waves aren't just constantly smacking you in the face?
You're not laying in the sea with anybody?
I don't think that's a real
thing.
You're
not a sea layer?
No, I'm not a sea layer. I don't go past my knees in the sea. I don't know what lives under there. Here's a fun stat for you to kick it off. I got a couple stats for you.
Yeah, it was a very fun game last night.
It didn't start out that way.
No, I thought, hey, I'm going to bed at halftime. This is great, early bedtime. And then, wait a minute, what? They're back in the game? Okay, I guess I'm not going to bed at halftime.
Chauncey Billups, 0-16 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tiago Splitter, 1-0.
He's never lost to him, man.
They hadn't beat the Thunder since Terry Stotts was roaming the sideline.
It's wild how long that streak has been. And I know that the Thunder have been a wagon the last couple of years, and number one seed 2 years ago, and NBA champion last year. Let's not act like they're wearing some bad Thunder, some building Thunder teams in there. And we've been tanking for a while, too, so I get it. But losing 16 in a row to one team, what is the longest losing streak we've ever had as a franchise?
To another team?
To another team, because that has to be in them. Like, we don't tank very often in Portland. We obviously had our Jailblazer eras, but we had a long run where we were a playoff team every year from, like, the 70s through the, you know, early 2000s. It was a long run of going to the postseason, so it's hard for me to imagine we have a much longer losing streak than that.
God, I'm doing
hell, that. We even beat when the Warriors won 73 games in the regular season. We beat them. You and I were at the game. Dame went off.
That's right.
We won. That we were one of their 9 defeats that year.
I don't know. I need to look this up. I don't know what their longest losing
streak is.
Is that
the record? Is there one that's longer?
Team is.
16 in a row is nuts.
16 is nuts. Like, to think about Terry Stotts coaching this team was the last time they won.
That was a long time ago,
that
man.
Stat, he said that stat yesterday on the end of the show, and it kind of blew my mind.
Yes, me too.
Because I hadn't really calculated that they hadn't beaten them in that long. Now,
it's a team you play a couple, like, it's not like an Eastern Conference
team
to the
three
EC
or four
twice.
Times a year.
You play multiple times a year.
So, yeah, that was that was jarring. They also made some other history yesterday. They snapped that losing streak. It's their second win ever after trailing by 20-plus after the first quarter.
That's pretty remarkable.
And here, this is the seventh largest comeback since 96-97. They're now 5-0 against the spread as an underdog. They're 1-2 against the spread as a favorite. Bet the Blazers is a dog.
I guess, yeah. They like barking when they're an underdog.
All their loss, they have a couple losses as underdogs outright. But
sure.
Like,
it looks like the longest one was, well, to both the Celtics and the Lakers in the early 70s when they were first.
Right, starting out.
17 apiece to the
Celtics. So it
was
almost the record.
71 to 76 and to the Lakers 70 to 73.
At least
I almost don't want to count that too, because that's like the inception of
your
franchise.
That's what I was going to say. At least that's the beginning. Those were wagon teams at that point. That they could have tied the record, but they didn't. They won last night.
Not so fast, my friend.
A great game from Denny Avdia after having a horrific start.
He didn't
start
make his first field goal until the third quarter.
I mean, he was living at the free throw line. The only reason he scored was because he was just hammering his way to the free throw line. He couldn't make a shot to save his life.
No, he started 0-for-11.
Yeah.
So that tells you where he had. He had 16 free throws, by the way.
Almost a triple-double, too.
Shaden had 18. Drew had 22. Drew was really good in the second and fourth quarters.
Yes, he was.
Tamani was a good offensive addition. And then you had Jeremy off the bench again with 20. And maybe the man of the night, at least the way they celebrated in the locker room.
Ooh.
Dwop Reith came off the bench and gave them 12. He was 4 of 5 from 3.
I mean, you talk about the comeback that they had down by 20 in the first quarter, and you're thinking, oh, God, the Thunder aren't even playing a couple of their key guys, and we're already down by 20. This is not going to go well. I know the history between these two teams. It was really him that got him going. I mean, he couldn't miss. It felt like in the second quarter, he started draining threes left and right. He got the hot hand. They kept feeding him. And it just kind of brought the arena back into the game. It brought the team back into the game. And when you can erase a deficit like that, that's a huge learning experience and motivator, I think, for this team. Of we're playing one of the best in the league. Again, I know OKC is shorthanded. But you're down by 20 points at the end of the first quarter. And then what were they down at halftime? 5, 4, 6? I mean,
it
was.
They cut the deficit.
They cut
halftime.
It down huge. I mean, you're in the game going into the locker room at halftime. And so just the ability to know that you're capable of doing that against a quality opponent like OKC, it was a really fun game. It's funny with them. Like, they have stretches where, and I think you texted this to the group feed, but I was thinking the same thing watching them. Like, they look so bad offensively for stretches of a game.
They look like one of the worst
and
offenses in the NBA.
You look at the score and you're like, but they're only down by 4. I don't get it. I have a hard time computing that in my head sometimes. And then they got hot late, started down by 8 at halftime. Kamara hit a big 3 late. You mentioned Avdia, who got going. Like, Drew Holiday was huge in the fourth quarter for them. You have a 40-point fourth quarter to kind of flip the game on its head. It was a really fun night at the Moda Center last night.
Yeah, the Hartenstein, he had that, like, layup full court thing at the end of the half to walk it
That's
off.
Right.
Was that not an offensive foul, by the way?
Yeah. Well, look, here's the other
Two
part of
this. Hands in the back.
Their offense did finally pick it up. They shot as a team. Look at that. They shot 44%. They outshot the Thunder from 3. Guess what happens?
Yeah.
Welcome to the NBA. That's kind of what it is. Like, every other game they don't shoot like that, they're either going to be in a dogfight because their defense is keeping them in it, or they're going to get blown out.
I think somebody had the number on the broadcast. Here, like 33% or better, they're undefeated on the year. Under 33% from 3, they're winless on the year, whatever.
Yeah, I gave you the stat. for Stat or Story yesterday, they're on going into last night, they were 26th in the league at 32.1. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it's that number and higher, they win the game. It was the second, third quarter defense that really helped propel them, not just their shooting. Thunder had 24 points in the second, 21 in the third. Reith is a really fun player when he has it going.
Mm-hmm.
He also has nights where if he's not doing that, it's like, ah, oh, damn.
Why are we heat checking right now?
That can be a little tough.
Yeah.
Denny not having it from the field. He was 5 of 17, but finishing with 26, 10, and 9.
Yeah.
That's a great sign of leadership and just playmaking ability.
Well, and finding different ways to score, right? Like, your shot's not falling. Let's attack the hoop and get to the free throw line.
Look, the Laker game, they couldn't shoot, but this is kind of what I'm talking about with him. Of, like, he finished the Laker game with 2 assists.
Yeah.
And he had 33 points. So it's not that, like, it was his fault they lost. He was their only offense for most of that Laker game. It's that I actually think he has this ability to get guys involved and find them. He had some turnovers, one bad pass kind of at the end of the game that was like, oh, what are you doing there? But for the most part, like, he kind of generated their offense, and Drew had some big shots in the fourth quarter. They came up big when they needed to. The Thunder absolutely looked a little gassed and shorthanded by the end, but I'm not going to take the Blazers' credit away because nobody else has been able to beat the Thunder. I'm going to tell you this. It's 8 games, and barring injury, which is the biggest of thing in that season because it's such a long one.
Which they're already banged up and shorthanded to begin with.
Right. I feel confident enough to tell you that I think if they're largely able to keep these guys intact and then get the guys who are injured back, I feel like even though it's 8 games, you can look at this team and say this is about a 500 team or better.
Oh, yeah. They're going to hover around it most
and so
of the year.
I kind of think the way the West is going right now early on, this feels at least like a minimum a play-in team.
I mean, right now, sure. I don't know if I would have said that after they lost to the shorthanded Lakers on Monday night, right? So things change quickly early in the season, the ebbs and flows of it.
But they're kind of becoming the back-and-forth team, right? The Laker loss sucks.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for it. That was kind of an effort and overlooking thing, and that shouldn't happen. But
yeah,
last night was a big effort. You're down 20 points. Everybody's thinking the same thing, whether in the building or watching on TV.
Yeah.
This one's over.
Oh, for sure. I thought the same thing. Yeah, this game's over.
And they clamped down. They got their offense going. They started building that confidence. They're just never going to quit.
Yeah, I agree with that. Look, what I will always give them credit for is they're going to play hard every night, and that I love. They've been very fun to watch because of that. The Laker game wasn't a ton of fun to watch because that was like, who's this guy?
No, for sure.
So, like, that game wasn't fun, but for the most part this year, they've been very entertaining, and you know they're going to play with effort, and they're going to play with intensity. It doesn't mean that the offense will always look pretty. It doesn't mean they're going to have nights where they make shots like they did last night and shoot north of 40% from three. I also think a couple of things that are in my mind, and maybe this is just who they become, although we'll have to wait and see how the schedule breaks out. I know they got a run of these for a while. You mentioned OKC defensively, or what Portland did to them in the second half defensively. I also think part of that is OKC's on a second of a back-to-back after a late tip, and they're getting into town, and they look like they had tired legs. SGA had some foul trouble, so they had to sit him down for a stretch in the second half. He was a little tired at times. Looks like he was
shorthanded
without a couple of guys. So that's the other part of this. Like, they're going to be feisty every night. Mm-hmm. They're going to have nights where they lay an egg, maybe. They're going to have nights where they pull off an upset like this. It's the second time they've done it. They beat Denver last Friday, now they've beaten OKC, two of the teams that I view as some of the best in the Western Conference. They're just, offensively, it's going to take nights like this where you get somebody else doing something. And it was Reith last night. Like, he came out in the second, he was a plus 21 in 20 minutes.
Yeah, he was their best plus-minus
in that
player.
Second quarter, he got hot and then had a great stretch in the fourth quarter. Like, he was massive for them last night. Outside of him, Grant, who has been really good off the bench, they had no other bench points. Murray didn't score in 18 minutes. I know Williams only came in for some rebounds late in the game.
4 minutes.
4 minutes. He was 0-2. And Sissoko came in the second half, and he took one shot. He didn't score.
Not going to get a lot of minutes from Sissoko.
A lot of my concerns that still exist are not going to change after last night's game. I just question their depth, and I question at times their offense. You get a game like that from Duop Reith, you don't want to waste it. They didn't waste it. He got hot. They rode that. And then everybody else picked it up as the game went on. But I tend to agree with you. When you just look at the landscape of the NBA, playing hard on any given night, I said this going into the year, is good for like 20 wins.
Because
there's teams you're going to catch sleeping. There's teams you're going to catch on a second of a back-to-back. There's teams you're going to catch that are resting guys. And if you just play with intensity and effort, that's enough to win you a good chunk of games on your schedule. Last night was really impressive. But I don't know if there's any grand takeaways for me.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I get everything. I agree with most of what you said. I just look at, too, I like the Jazz just lost Walker Kessler for the year.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies and Ja Morant.
God, that's, yeah.
That's, you know.
Have fun.
Is that a divorce? I don't know what's happening there. The Pelicans have are they're red hot. They've won two in a row, but they're still 2-6.
Well, Zion's out now, isn't he, for a week or two weeks or a hamstring or something?
And Dallas sucks. Like, Cooper Flagg is already depressed. Side note, watched his post-game press conference, and I actually got more upset that he's there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is so ridiculous that he's a Maverick.
It's really stupid.
How they fixed that to happen is so dumb.
It's really stupid.
Phoenix is meh. Yeah. Like, just you look at the West. There's some really good teams that they're not going to beat, and you're not wrong. Like, their offense is going to disappear, and they'll lose a random game to the Kings, right? Yeah. But
it's as simple as making
threes,
man.
There's some other bad teams in that conference that I think they'll be able to feast on, not to mention the garbage teams in the East when they get to play them.
Yeah.
One takeaway that I want to bring up, and sure, then we'll dive back in, talk a little Kirk Ferentz, maybe get some NFL notes. It's a loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a little Kirk Ferentz. I'm thinking about posting a Reddit post on the Hawkeye Reddit page asking for Iowa thoughts on how they feel about Kirk Ferentz.
Okay.
Because I find a lot of people who are not Iowa fans tend to tell you how you should feel about Kirk Ferentz.
Wouldn't you want more offense from your football team? We do a lot of that.
Well, we also do the, he's amazing. You can't be better than that at Iowa, which maybe that's true. I legitimately don't know what the right answer is there.
I think they're just happy with who they are.
Are they?
I think so.
That's what I'm saying, is that we don't really know. We're not Iowa fans.
No, I can't. I guess I shouldn't speak for the entire fan base, but I feel like if I was an Iowa fan, and there's something
you're 0 for your last 11 against ranked teams. You feeling good about that?
I mean, you're Iowa.
Okay. You shouldn't expect to beat any ranked teams?
I'm not saying you shouldn't expect to beat any ranked
teams.
You
just feast on Rutgers.
How many years
Minnesota
in a row is that? How many years in a row is 11?
I don't know.
Because they probably play three a year, right?
I had two to three, right?
So you're going on 2-3 years where you haven't won one. He's pulled off some massive upsets. He beat Ohio State as a top five team. Penn State as a top five team.
He has the most ranked wins of any coach in the Big Ten.
I mean, he's been there a long time. But
I have a follow-up to that stat.
Does he have the most losses, too? Fun little fact. It's funny how many things you can compile when you're a head coach somewhere for, you know, nearly three decades.
I want to have a conversation. He's amazing. You don't see coaches there that long.
Yeah.
Him and Whittingham, kind of a throwback.
They're very similar guys. Of like, Kyle Whittingham's probably had more high-level success recently.
Who's better to you?
But let's also not forget, like, Iowa's won a Big Ten. They've been to a Rose Bowl. Remember, they got curb-stomped by Stanford and Christian McCaffrey. That happened. Utah also got curb-stomped in both Rose Bowls they went to.
Yeah.
Against teams that weren't even the best and had a lot of guys sitting out.
Who's better?
I mean, I'd probably say Kyle Whittingham, but I'm also more familiar with him than I am Kirk Ferentz.
Okay. All right. Well, we can talk about that. I had a takeaway yesterday in watching that Blazer game. Nice little win for them.
Yes, it was.
Beating the undefeated Thunder.
Undefeated no longer.
The Blazers technically shot one more free throw. But the vibe watching and hearing that game would have told you that the Thunder got every whistle and they shot 85 free throws.
It's also funny that Denny Avdia took more free throws than SGA in the game.
I know.
Never would have thought that was going to happen.
I think...
It was very intense with the officials last night.
I asked you yesterday to end the show, like, where would they be as a team you want to go watch in person?
Dude, we all hate them. Everybody hates them.
I think you're right.
Everybody hates them.
I legitimately think people hate this. Now, look, we shot more free throws, so it's weird to bring this up the day after that, but man, there was some moments like Klingon got called for one. I thought he was just straight up, and I think Lamar is doing a good job of not putting himself in a warning from the NBA for the broadcast comment.
Yeah, it's a little delicate.
I think Lamar was like, arms are straight up.
Yeah.
There's really no contact, but okay. We're calling fouls there.
They did overturn one Kamara where they called it a block on the floor and then overturned it after review.
Well, the crowd was just so into it. They kept showing this thumbs down guy on the broadcast. Yeah. That was really good.
We need that new guy. I had a buddy text last night that they missed free throw guy. Where's free throw guy at? Bring him back.
You miss free throw guy?
I didn't say that. I had a buddy send that to a group chat, but I thought, can thumbs down guy be our new guy? Because he had every game.
I like thumbs down guy.
Give him one of those every time there's a bad call.
The fan base has that famous thumbs
Yankees.
Down.
Yankee is a Yankee fan, I think. The old guy that does the thumbs down?
He's not a Royal fan. He's a Yankee fan.
I thought he was.
Overalls. Yeah, it was the Yankees.
I think it was a Yankee fan.
It might have even been old Yankee Stadium.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember
how old it is, but I think it's a Yankee fan.
I send that GIF all the time when I want to respond to people.
It's a great GIF.
It's a great
one. It's one of the all-timers.
So we need, like, thumbs down Blazer fan in our life more, but... Yeah, dude, I think you're there. I think people really hate this team.
How could you not? It's a franchise, and look, I know that this label gets thrown out a lot.
Yeah.
They were literally born on third base.
Yep.
A team moved to their city.
Well, stolen.
Stolen,
it
to
was
their,
stolen.
To their city.
Yeah.
That included Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
And James Harden. Like, just, they go to a finals, what, in year three, four in OKC? And then KD leaves, and it's like, oh my God, but then you get an MVP from Russ. And then you get Paul George, and we wave goodbye to you, and then you somehow luck your way into tanking in the worst trade that's ever happened in the NBA of getting an MVP in every first-round pick for the next century from the LA Clippers.
Giving Presti no credit, like, huh? Dude, lucked his way?
That was one of the worst trades we've ever seen. I can't stand them. They have been gifted nothing but success. They've had multiple MVPs in the last 15 years.
Mm.
They were born on third base. They've never had to struggle. They've never had to go through down long stretches without being relevant. I can't stand anything about the organization. I hate their colors. I hate the players. I hate everything about them. And they stole a team from Seattle that used to be a rivalry. And we should have more people in the city that hate Seattle, but instead they lost their team, and now the NBA thing's not even a rivalry anymore.
We almost feel bad. We're like, dude, we kind of miss having you guys to hate.
Yes, I like hating Seattle teams. I hate all Seattle teams. It's in my DNA.
It's like a weird...
And I used to have a poster in my room of the... What was the cup or trophy they used to give out?
Oh, yeah.
For the Blazers and Sonics whenever they'd play, and they'd had a series, and there was a trophy at the end of it. Like, I had a poster in my room that was that.
Do you think the NBA should do that and ditch the in-season tournament cup?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Emphasize the rivalries and make it worth a trophy celebration?
Without a doubt.
Wouldn't that be a little more fun for each fan base?
Yes, it would. Because it wouldn't be that serious. You wouldn't hang a banner, but it's like college football. When you win a rivalry game and you get a trophy, it's kind of cool. You celebrate it. Then you keep the trophy until the next time.
Like,
That would be way cooler than the NBA
game. I think they're a little bit... Now, look, this is going to be going a little far for some. Totally get it. I just don't... Whenever I watch them in general, let alone being in Portland, it tends to be the same reaction of like, of course that's a foul. Like, it's just kind of a general like, oh my God.
Here we go again.
Here we go. More free throws for the Thunder. And I know they haven't had as much a run of success. They feel a little, we hate them because we ain't them Chiefs-y to me.
For sure.
Because the Chiefs are absolutely hated if you're not a Chiefs fan.
I hate every team that has success. I hate them all. Because I don't have it and I want it. You have something I want. I hate you. That's the way I operate as a sports fan.
Have you always been that way? Has there ever been a good team that you haven't hated?
Not really. Not since I was a kid. Like, I think every kid is a little bit of a front runner.
Well, yeah, but not your team.
That get washed out of you as you get older. And so, no, I loved Kansas City until they won multiple. Now they won't go away. Now I can't stand them.
Mm.
It'll be the same. Like,
you're back with New England. You like New England.
And I'm kind of back with them. And then they're going to win. I'm going to hate them again. The test would be like a Lions or a Dolphins, like or a Lion, not Dolphins, Lions or Bills, if they were to win a couple Super Bowls, because that would be hard. I love the coaches and the players.
They've been pretty good for a while.
I know, but they haven't won championships.
Yeah,
championships are the ultimate, and we all say they can't. If like the Bills won three straight Super Bowls, would I end up hating them? Probably. I'd have
really?
To.
Really, you hate the Bills?
That's enough. All right, you got three. That's fine. Stop being greedy. Give one to somebody else. Okay, pass it around.
The limit is three.
The limit is three.
You hate them.
Spread the love here a little bit. All
the
right.
The Thunder only have one.
Yeah, get them out of here. Hopefully, they only have one.
Okay. I think the Thunder have reached that level for people that do watch the NBA or they play the Blazers and you watch them. It's just like, dude, screw this team.
Yes. Fans stand up until they make a shot. Like, get out of here, dude.
They do have, when they're not foul hunting, God, the ball movement is so beautiful.
Yeah, get out of here. Nobody cares.
Wish we had that.
Take that L.
Yeah, take that L.
You take that L, OKC.
Yeah. Have fun. Where's your next game? Who cares? You ain't undefeated no more. Blazers get that win. Kirk Ferentz. What is your opinion of Kirk Ferentz? I want to talk a little bit about Kirk Ferentz coming up next. But Welcome back in. I think we have an NFL player that is looking to replace and be the new Russell Wilson.
I'm glad you saw this.
Oh, look at us.
Talk about things that I hate. I already hated this guy.
Yeah, well, I know. Okay, so we're in lockstep. I saw this and went, that's something Russell Wilson would say. 100%. He wrote this for you, didn't he? He's your ChatGPT here.
He totally is. When's your Subway commercial coming up?
Spicy! So we'll get to that coming up. Are there five teams in the NFC? What did you just say in my ear?
1 minute.
1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute. We got to go. We got Pate coming up. Let's go. Turn and burn.
That's right. Josh Pate's coming up.
Come on, jackass.
Thank you for reminding me.
I have somebody texting in saying I'd never do Dirt was a socialist, and I responded, I absolutely am, unless it's my team. Then I'm a sports fascist. I rule everything. I dream of having that team that everybody hates. I go to bed every night and pray to the sports gods. Can my team be that? And I know everybody hates Oregon, but it's not for winning championships.
Pate State's going to hop on here in just a second. I want to talk about Kirk Ferentz today.
Okay.
And here's all I'm going to throw at you.
Throw it at me.
Okay?
Let's do it.
Kirk Ferentz has the most ranked wins against AP Top 25 teams of any of the Big Ten coaches. His record, 30-56. Now, 30-57, because they lost to Indiana this year.
Ah, okay, so that was before the year started.
So,
Iowa State, I think, also, I don't know how the ranking things work, because Iowa State's not ranked anymore, but they were when they lost
to
them.
This is when you play a team in the ranks, so it's 30-58.
Yeah, there's two of them this year.
I just want to ask questions and talk about Kirk Ferentz. He's a very interesting coach to me.
Sure.
He's kind of a throwback, and he's one of a few. Where people are at on Kirk Ferentz. Does Kirk Ferentz scare you?
I have noticed we have videos that go up, and it's fun to see other fans infiltrate our stuff on YouTube as a show, and Iowa fans are all over this game, and they're very, very excited for it, rightfully so.
So are people out here.
How defensive they get with the offense stuff. Like, anytime the idea of them not being good offensively is referenced, it's immediate, like,
How
dare you? They're scoring 30 right. points a game.
Okay.
It's like, well, I know they're scoring 30, but they're 17th out of 18 teams in the Big Ten total offense.
Sometimes stats don't lie.
Sometimes the numbers don't lie.
Let's talk with Josh Pate. He dropped a bomb yesterday. We'll talk with him about that. The Oregon-Iowa game. Pate State University next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's a Pate State Thursday. The commish is on. Josh Pate College Football Show. It's free to subscribe on YouTube. Get him to his goal. He's going to take over the world if he hasn't already. He's on Twitter at JoshPateCFB and on Instagram as well, where you get all behind-the-scenes access looks at where he goes every weekend, what he's posting, his Friday night picks. Like, he's got Friday night lines, I should say, to be proper there. And he's taking over the world. He threw a grenade last night.
He did.
That exploded, and we'll get to that. But look, Pate, you are a football sicko. It's why we love you. It's why we consume your content, and it's part of what we love about this interview. You're a football sicko. I want you to tell me, be in the trust tree with us, where does a really well-executed punt land for it makes it move for Josh Pate in the football bingo card?
Let's say, well, how close to the corner is it, first off?
Let's say it pins, it rolls out right at the corner.
Ooh.
Okay, anywhere inside the 10, I feel it. Anywhere inside the five, I got to sit down. Anywhere inside the three, I need a pillow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought you'd appreciate a good punt.
I got my punt sweatshirt ready. My team's going to Iowa. We know what kind of meat grinder game it's going to be. It's like, welcome to the Big Ten. Weather's going to be nasty. The over-under is 40 and a half. Here we go. Let's run the football, play some field position. Don't go for it on fourth down. I know you wrestled with this one this week. As the time has gone on and you're looking at numbers, you're looking at matchups, how are we feeling about Oregon and Kinnick this weekend?
All right, I'm terrified. I am not well. I don't feel great about it. I don't think anyone should feel great about it because it's Iowa City in November. So it's not a place where you're supposed to feel great at any point this month, but especially when it's raining and cold. So I tried to do the reverse psychology thing all week for the sake of Oregon, and I tried to emphasize that. And I tried to talk about how much this is going to be Iowa's game, and you got to go play Iowa's game better than they do. I was talking to Will and Taylor on their show yesterday. I said, hey, this isn't a street race. This is a dirt track game. You got to bring your dirt track car. Don't try and bring a street car into the dirt track. And so you're just trying to push every button possible on a Dan Lanning team to where you, number one, you make it into the hype video for the greater good of the program. And number two, you make them realize that, hey, we lead the country in explosive runs. That's us. Now, the flip side of that coin is Iowa's given up one of those all year. But there are a couple of those games this weekend. Brigham Young, Texas Tech's another one, where one team's strength matches up with the other team's strength, and that's why we play the games. We find out who bends and who leans, and that's how you make it where you want to make it. So I leaned Oregon to win it, but I think even a win – it just looks pretty hideous this weekend. Yeah.
Kind of a two-parter for you. You've been to Kinnick before. Like, they've had some massive games there. They're on a losing streak right now against ranked teams, but they're always in these, you know, ugly-ish kind of football game fights, and they're just like a play away from potentially snapping that kind of streak. One, what is the temperature on Kirk Ferentz? He's one of the is he the longest or the second longest tenured coach in college football? He's amazing. Been there since 99. What is the temperature, you think, with Iowa fans on Kirk Ferentz as the coach? And, you know, when you look at these kinds of games, I think we get more hyped about the idea of the game than we are actually excited to watch what these games largely become, 13-10, 17-14. Where are you at on that?
I think the second point is very sound. I've never thought about it that way. I especially think you're describing the general public on that front.
Yeah.
And the way you always know that is when they talk about hyping the game up so much, ask them to name you know, three of the key players for the opposing team. And they can't, which makes you realize, wait, they haven't really broken the game down at all. They don't really know a whole lot about the opponent. They just kind of know in the abstract, ooh, it's Iowa, they play really good defense. Ooh, it's Kinnick Stadium. That place is hard to play in. Ooh, it's going to be raining and cold, which is fine because it is a TV product after all. As far as Ferentz, I think the exit door he would hit would just be retirement. Mm-hmm. And I wait for it every year. So I wonder, you know, if they were to go out this year with a good win, like if they were to get some signature win like this would be, I wonder if he's kind of waiting on that, or I wonder if he doesn't think that way at all. But I've waited for the announcement every winter for the past five or so winters, and it hasn't come. I just kind of think they are what they are for the time being under him.
Yeah, I feel like him and Kyle Whittingham are very similar in that regard. Of like, just it's only a matter of time. I'm not quite sure what they're waiting for, but it feels like every offseason we're on. Are they retiring? Watch, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. Now, you threw a grenade yesterday that I got to ask about, because we know the coaching carousel has been chaos, and we've as a show have tried to lean more into like all of that stuff will settle itself. Let's talk more football. But when you throw a grenade like you threw, we got to follow up on it. Care to expand on the Lincoln Riley grenade that was dropped yesterday?
Yeah, there's just some noise about Lincoln behind the scenes, and it's not anything I've talked to him about, I promise you that, but I can't ignore how many people who I trust that have brought his name up, and so let me stress this, it's not like hot seat kind of talk.
Right.
They're in the thick of the playoff race, and his buyout's massive, and you know, I didn't give any context to what I said intentionally because I had no intention of giving any context to it because I really don't know what the context is yet. But I just know, you know, you learn who to trust and who to listen to and who not to. And, you know, when two or three of those people who have earned the trust and have the validity keep mentioning the same thing independently, it's just something to keep an eye on. So I would keep an eye on that little situation there in Southern California.
I have a coaching question I want to ask you. Do you think the person that you trust brags to their friends at home or at a bar that they're a person that you trust?
Ooh.
Do they know I trust them?
Oh.
That's the follow-up. Because maybe I no-sell it. When they tell me stuff, maybe I just roll my eyes and say whatever. And then unbeknownst to them, I'm running over to the phone to pick up and talk with you guys. Maybe that's the way that's working. And so maybe they actually go home depressed and they want to try and find ways to get in my good graces, not knowing that they're already there. I mean, if this was my space, they'd be squarely in the top eight.
That is a phenomenal. Now I want to know what the cover song is, too, on top of that.
That's a good poll. That's a good throwback poll. Top eight friends. I'm going to give you three doors, okay? Three doors. Let's play a coaching game with Josh Pate. I know Florida's looking for a coach, and Auburn's going to look for a coach. And look, there's some big-time jobs out there, right? There's some real buzzy ones that Josh Pate's going to focus on. But Josh Pate has three doors he has to open. Behind door number one, you got Go Beaver. Ed Orgeron begging for the Oregon State job. Behind door number two, longtime successful Wisconsin coach who hasn't coached in a couple years, Paul Christ, Steady Eddie. And door number three, guy that nobody's heard of that very well could be a hit and it could be a miss. If you were to open the door for Oregon State, what door would Josh Pate open?
Oh, wait, three is just a wild card door?
Just a wild card door. It could be an assistant, an up-and-come, the North Texas coach.
FCS coach.
Like, take the gamble of the next young, good guy that works his arse off.
Okay, well, I just assumed that behind door three is the next Cignetti, but 30 years younger. So I'm always going door three. But I am very fascinated what would happen behind door one. Door two doesn't do much for me, no offense. So give me three, give me one, give me two in that order. It sounds like a snap cadence.
Okay.
Ready, break.
All right. Okay, ready, break. Now, I was watching on Tuesday the rankings released for the first time, and I think we as a collective society, maybe I'm wrong on this, have done a better job of acknowledging all of this stuff's going to settle itself out. Like, there's no reason to yell and scream about the rankings. But the first thing that stood out to me was the first thing that you started talking about on your show Tuesday, and I'm glad you brought it up. Look, I'm not the biggest Miami guy. Mario left. I get it. And I'm all about making fun of them when they lose games like they lost, considering the talent that exists on their roster. How on earth are they ranked 18th in the country?
I don't know. Yeah. I thought they'd be like 14th or something like that. But they're already down there, and they don't – unless everything just falls apart in front of them, I don't really know what their path is. And I'm not saying that's unfair in the aggregate. Like, I'm not saying, oh, they lost to Louisville, they lost to SMU, but – poor Miami, they should still have a path. No, man, they dropped the ball. So I don't mind in principle that they don't have much of a path. It's just that this is not in a vacuum. This is supposed to be comparative and merit-based, resume-based. And I'm looking at some of the other teams, and I'm also looking at Notre Dame, and I'm thinking about, what's the quality win here? Well, USC is their quality win. Okay, but Notre Dame is Miami's quality win. So you got the same record, and you've got the head-to-head, and there's eight spots between the two? It was crazy to me. So I my theory, as I floated on the show, and you may have heard me say this, my theory is every human predicts things. Everybody on the committee, whether they want to admit it or not, they had an idea in the preseason of what their rankings would be. That's why outlawing rankings is stupid, because people will just do it anyway. So I think that when you have high expectations for a player or a team and they fall short of it, you proactive, you like punish that team in your mind, and you treat them harsher than you would another team that you didn't have high expectations for. And I think people had high expectations for Miami, and they predicted Miami to do things, and they told their buddies Miami was going to do things, and then Miami falls flat on their face, and they get pissed about it. And so what can I do? I can't punish Mario Cristobal. I can't find him, but I can rank him 18th. So get out of here, Miami. That's the vibe it gives off to me sometimes.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that because, I'm trying not to take too much emotional stock into the first ranking because we have so much football to be played. But when you said that, I was like, Dude, that's exactly what it is. It has to be them more pissed of like, how did you lose to SMU? You're more talented. You should never lose that game. And here you are doing it again. Josh Pate's our guest. Josh Pate College Football Show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. He's getting ready for another big weekend of college football. He was just on ESPN. He's on with the Bussin' with the Boys. You see him everywhere. You hear him everywhere. He's a good friend of this program and has been for some time. The commish on Twitter, at Josh Pate CFB. We do every Wednesday, every hump day, we do a 7 a.m. dirty poll. And that's my co-host doing his top 12 in college football. I asked him this question. I'm going to ask you. I asked him how many of his top 12 teams he would say are safe to make the playoff. And he didn't give me a lot of them based on the college football playoff rankings. Now, let's exclude the group of six because that is a wild card. And let's look at the rest of the teams the committee would have in the playoff. How many of those teams does Josh Pate think he has mentally safe away in the playoff?
Ohio State, yes. Indiana, yes. A&M, yes. Bama, I wouldn't say they're safe in yet. Georgia, I wouldn't say they're safe in yet. Ole Miss, I kind of want to say they're safe. I'm going to say Ole Miss is safe in. Mm-hmm. Brigham Young, no. Texas Tech, no. Oregon, no. Notre Dame, no. Texas, no. Oklahoma, no. So I would say one, two, three. I'm only saying three of them are completely, maybe four are completely safe in.
Yeah, we had the same exact list. That's Ole Miss was my fourth one, too, just looking at the rest of the schedule. Although maybe the Citadel does the funniest thing of all time. I do want to look at that Alabama-LSU game that all of a sudden has taken a different angle with Brian Kelly getting fired. And do we get the fire coach boost? We remember how embarrassing it was in Baton Rouge last year. Alabama's been rolling, but then they, you know, got a kind of escaped one in South Carolina, if you will, coming off a bye. Both teams are just, where are we at on that? Line's 9.5. How are we feeling about Bama LSU?
I think that LSU is going to play very inspired football. So, I mean, I think probably you'll see the most juice out of them you've seen all year. And this is one of those spots where I kind of like to bet on teams their first game with the interim head coach, especially one like Frank Wilson, because everyone loves him down there and yeah. Everyone felt the exact opposite towards the former guy down there. So there's that. But, man, you got to overcome a lot. Like, Bama at home under DeBoer has been insanely good. Bama anybody off a bye under DeBoer has been insanely good. And I think a couple of things. I don't think that LSU can take advantage of a little bit of run defense vulnerability with Alabama because they're just not good at doing that. And then the second thing is explosive passes for Bama and pass rush for Bama have been weaknesses at times this year that I think may round into form here. So not an easy game. Takes four quarters to do it, but I think they'll end up getting some margin and winning the game and covering.
Last one for you. We'll let you go here. How has the lifting schedule been adjusted with the now sudden busyness of being on almost every single platform that exists in the sport?
We're still trying to go at 1 o'clock every day. Tomorrow, we're going to go to Lubbock, and I have adjusted our travel schedule to get in there early afternoon because I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Texas Tech kind of low-key has one of, if not the best, weight rooms in the country all of a sudden. So look, all I want you to do is feel a little bit sorry for me. That's all I want you to do. If I've accomplished nothing else in this call, I want you to feel sorry that I can't carve out 3 hours in the middle of the day to go to the gym every day.
Yeah. It's a 3-hour workout session with Josh Pate?
Oh, no. It takes like an hour and a half. I just tell everybody it takes 3 hours, so I have a reason to disappear.
Yeah. Can I tell you, that's dude, I want to be honest with you. I know your schedule's way busier, but doing our show, we extended an hour now, and I am nowhere near lifting what you're lifting. But I've also found I'm a very early morning workout guy. I don't have that anymore, so I have to work out at like noon, 1 o'clock. I hate it. I have not adjusted. It's not fun for me. I'm just mentally fried, and that's why I'm an early workout guy. It's a good start to my day, and now I don't have that option anymore. So I actually do feel sorry for you.
I remember coming on the show a couple of months ago. Everyone's all jazzed up about the fourth hour. And then I told you guys, hit me back in 3 months.
Yep.
And here we are 3 months later, and it sounds like basically a death march for the final 60 minutes.
It's not great, dude. My workouts have been cut, and I'm eating Cap'n Crunch at 1:30 p.m. It's a disaster.
Nothing
at this
makes
point.
Sense anymore, man.
Nothing does. You know what does? Josh Pate and
yes,
Josh Pate's College Football Show every Sunday, Tuesday, tonight a new episode on Thursday, and he gets ready to go on the road for another great weekend of college football. Thank you so much, Pate. We always appreciate it. Continued success. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you the next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there we go. Josh Pate. Josh Pate's College Football Show on YouTube. Subscribe. It's free to do. He's a good friend of this program and has been for quite some time. Amazing. When we first reached out and had him on, he had 12,100 and something people subscribe, yes, which is pretty damn good.
That's great.
Like our page, we're hoping to get to 7,000.
Yeah, I think we just crossed over 7,000 yesterday.
So there you go. He is on his way to 500,000.
That's pretty good.
So think about our relationship with Josh Pate in that time of when we first had him to where he's at now. Anybody, you can grow too. You can maybe be Josh Pate.
Can make it.
Although he's pretty good at what he does.
So. He's very good at what he does. He had a very passionate speech about Oregon on his show Tuesday about how the committee is wrongfully ranked them because they're not rightfully viewing. I don't know if any of that's right.
Memory holing
Penn State. Yeah. And they're not getting any credit for that win. But. And Penn State's crumbled and it's killed Oregon's resume because that was supposed to be the game of their season. That was supposed to be the big win, and it has not turned out to be that way. And his whole argument was, you got to kind of moment and time it and give them a little more credit than what the committee's doing.
We'll make our big PP picks today, but yes, a couple things here on that. Lanning talked about their resume. He was asked on an ESPN radio show about that.
Oh, resume talk.
He also was asked what life has actually been like being in the Big Ten. We're going on year two here, and we're kind of winding down as it goes. Interesting note on his door number three would be his first option for Oregon State.
I think they'd be my vote, too.
And then Orgeron, too. And then Paul Christ is his third choice. Mm. That's interesting to me. I want to talk Kirk Ferentz if we have time today. Got NFL. Is there a new Russell Wilson in our life? There's a lot to get to. Loaded Third Hour, Dirt and Sprague. Back with more on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.